Jason Longshore joining us in studio now. Talk about the game. Talk about Atlanta United in general. Jason, as always, brought to you by Heineken 0.0. Great taste, zero alcohol. Jason, how are you?
Doing well. What about
up,
you guys?
Jay?
Oh, yeah. Just doing awesome.
So awesome. Find out what a hot girl, city boy, and all that is.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to get back into that later.
Oh, man.
Are you familiar with any of this stuff?
I have no idea what's going on with it.
We
no
didn't
idea.
Either, but we learned more about it earlier.
We might have to talk offline about this one.
But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, it's not at all.
Now, you are going to hang out for the AMA. It's the first time we've had a chance to have you hang out for the AMA in a while because you guys have been out of town.
You know, we've been eating Chicago deep dish pizza and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Was that last week?
We've all got over that part of the show off.
Hey.
How was it, by the way? It's pretty good?
Really good.
It's probably better than the performance.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes, much better.
That night. We could talk about what last week looked like in a minute, but I do kind of just want to start with the P.T. Martinez, story, kind of. Like, there was a report out there, and then it got to the point where Frank DeBoer was asked about it, and Darren Eales was asked about it, and they've refuted it very, very quickly, and it seems like it's over. But like, how did we get here in the first place with this P.T. Martinez rumor?
Argentina and the soccer media there's kind of crazy. if you watch Te Ise, which is like the ESPN of Argentina, you think First Take and shows like that are a big deal where you got two people yelling at one another? Imagine 10 all yelling all at the same time, very angry, looking like they might come to blows about Boca Juniors and about River Plate. That's the culture. So I'd love to know where it came from, because it felt like it was a very targeted drop because it hit at like 6 o'clock Eastern time from multiple different outlets in Argentina. It sounded very strange.
Okay.
When you look at what's going on in Argentina right now, they're a few weeks away from the new season starting up. River Plate didn't win a trophy last year. Things are getting a little desperate as to it's time to win another trophy, because you can't go two seasons without winning a trophy if you're River Plate. And P.T. Martinez is a club legend, and he's not playing great here right now. So it's an easy thing to try to put two and two together. But as DeBoer said, ridiculous. As Darren Eales said, rubbish.
But with all that being said, are you surprised by the rumors?
Surprised by the rumors? No,
because he is not playing good, Jay.
Surprised by the rumors, like, happening, not at all, because this has happened before. I mean, with players going back to Argentina, it's happened. And with him not playing as he did late last season at River Plate, yeah, of course. Of course it's going to pop up.
We were talking about this earlier. Look at his transition to Atlanta United. Look at Barco's. What's the difference?
Honestly, at this stage last year, not much. You mean the same things were being said about Ezequiel Barco last year. You can almost go back and pull tweets about it last year at this time. And I think it's a harder transition if you are a Barco or a P.T. Martinez versus a Franco Escobar or an Eric Rometty, where your game is based on that skill level, that artistry. It's a little bit harder to transition to this league because it's so different and it plays out so different. As opposed to a guy like Rometty or Escobar, who can rely on their physicality, can rely on that work rate, because that's the kind of player they are.
Well, I think it's also easier when you're sitting last summer in the midst of a team that almost won the Supporters' Shield, when you're dominating everybody, when you're playing the style that they were playing last year, and everybody's comfortable with Tata Martino and the stars on the team. Things have changed this year. So, there's already a little, I don't know if you want to call it turmoil, but there's change. There's things that are different. That already exists. Then throw into the fact that the guy that you went and got in the offseason isn't quite what you want him to be yet. I think that might have something to do with it as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch the takes on this, because if you look at the numbers and you look at minute by minute how he's playing, first half on Sunday,
it was
pretty good.
He looked all right. He looked okay.
I'd go a little bit ahead of that. And same, you know, with games prior, where it's like, it's not bad, but it's not what you expect. And I think the problem is now people are latching on to little things to grab onto, with what Frank DeBoer said after the match on Sunday. He was talking, in my opinion, the way I heard it, was he was talking about that match on Sunday. That match, where it was at 2-1, with it being a scrappy affair, you're not able to connect passes, you need a different type of player in there. He is a luxury player at that point, because you're not able to use him in the way that he is best used. You needed Brandon Vasquez with his size. You needed Jeff Lorenowitz with the attitude to come in, and you flip the game around. That's what happens sometimes.
What do you expect? Because I think, you know, we all have different expectations. We all probably have different, I don't know, levels of reality with our soccer fanhood. I think you keep a pretty even keel with what it is that you expect from guys. Like, what do you expect? I guess, what have you expected from PT, and what do you expect coming up?
He hasn't hit the full expectations yet. You want to see him more dangerous in the final third. And that comes out a few different ways. Soccer is such a hard game to quantify with numbers, so it's hard to say, well, he needs to have 6 goals the rest of the way and 10 assists. No, it's not that. He needs to be in positions to win 1v1 dribbling duels. When he's taking players on, he has to beat people off the dribble. He has to create more opportunities for others, and he's actually done a pretty good job of that when you look at the numbers. He has to be more composed in the final third. You need more goals out of him because he's getting into these opportunities. He has to convert. Missed by a foot on Sunday. That would have been massive. You just need that little bit more of quality and that composure out of him.
All right, I'm done bashing Pitti. Got it. Thank you, Jay, as always.
But no,
for
just,
us
you know, out. Just asking
but
questions.
Emerson Hyman, what's the expectation for him? Because if this say this was a regular MLS game, not the U.S. Open Cup, would he get in?
I think he could. I think he has that ability. I really like what he brings to the table. His skill set. He was at the wrong club in England, in my opinion. He went to Fulham initially when he went over to England at 18 years old, and he played, and he broke into the team, and he was turning heads. He was the captain of the U-20 World Cup team in 2015. He was on a lot of different people's all-tournament team in that tournament, expected to be the next big breakout star, got a couple of caps with the national team. Then he went to Bournemouth when Fulham was relegated, and he's barely played. So he went out on loan to Scottish teams a couple of times and did well. But his skill set, he's good on the ball, he connects passes, he's got a great range of passing, he can play as an 8, like a two-way central midfielder. I think, honestly, he could end up being that 6 who sits back deeper and is the metronome for this team from a possession standpoint. He's going to have to come in and earn the playing time, and he gets a huge opportunity tonight straight out of the gate. I think that says how strongly they feel about him.
You think he starts tonight?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it works out perfectly for him because you've got a crowded schedule right now. You need somebody to play some minutes, and he gets that opportunity to show, okay, I can do this and fit into this team straight away.
Does Atlanta United need something positive to happen tonight? Like, I understand it's a long season. They're still in good shape in MLS. Mm-hmm. The last couple games out have been disappointing. I know you got the win over Montreal, but then you go back before that was the Toronto game with the missed penalty at the end. It just kind of feels like there's a bit of a negative momentum. Do they need something positive to happen tonight just in general?
Yeah, I mean, you're 3 games away from winning a trophy, so you need to win. I mean, whatever it takes. I think that's the most important thing about tonight. If you're able to put on a great performance and win in a very convincing fashion, even better. But you have to win, and you have to do that first. And I think the way you do that is you get back to the way this team played in May. You're dominating games. You're controlling games. And you're controlling it 2 different ways. You're creating chances going the other way, but more importantly, you're not giving up any chances. You're not having some of these breakdowns that we've seen in Chicago on set pieces. You're not having these breakdowns in transition. You're not having a breakdown in transition like you did at the end of the game against Red Bulls. It's got to be more secure from a defensive standpoint.
Is Joseph going to play tonight?
I don't. That's the one I wonder about, and I think it's probably more of a, you know, a touch and go with him. Mm-hmm. If he's ready to go, I think you play him. I think he's a guy who kind of thrives on playing lots of minutes. But if he's not 100%, I'd have him in the 18. Right. I'd have him available if you need to, because remember, tonight could go 120 minutes. If it's level at the end of regulation, it goes to extra time, could go to penalties. You want him available even if you don't want to start him.
Jason Longshore joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Now, he is going to hang out for the final segment as well in the AMA. We're about 10 minutes away from the AMA, so get your questions in. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929, at Longshoe for Jason, or at RandyMac81 for Randy McMichael. What about Barco? I know that it's been a really long time since we've seen him, partially because of his international duty, but now also partially because of his... I guess we saw him briefly, and then he got hurt.
Right.
When do you think we'll see him again?
It sounds like he's closer than Villalba, but we're not sure what the timeline is for either one. Barco, the idea was to get him back into team activities sometime over the next week if everything's going right in recovery, and haven't heard an update yet, which is a little concerning. Tito Villalba has been longer term, and we're not really sure what the timeline is for him. Right now, and that's the other thing to keep in mind with this team at the moment, they're getting some results. They're playing, you know, some uneven soccer, but they're missing some big pieces at the moment.
Mm-hmm. One of our favorite guys is Darlis Magny. What makes him so great? Because he just seems like he's never rushed. He's just got, I got this, guys, all is well.
See, that's what I loved about Sunday, the final 20 minutes. He did play like he was rushed in some ways because he's so good that it almost looks effortless for him at times, and you kind of take him for granted sometimes because of that. But he really pushed the game on Sunday, and that's not something we normally associate with him because he's in a position where he's circulating possession, he's helping you out of jams, but he's not pushing the game from an attacking perspective. And it felt like on Sunday he was the inspirational guy pushing the team forward to bring them back into that game. It's like he took the team and put it on its back.
Yeah, and Joseph helped also. Joseph had a nice performance at the
different.
End of the game.
I mean, that's the thing, though, that's different. Like, Joseph isn't a guy who's going to get all those touches in the middle to do that. Like, you know he's always there, and you know you always have him to turn to, but you needed somebody centrally. You needed somebody in the midfield to do that, and Darlington stepped up.
I think Frank DeBoer said this, and I don't want to get the quote wrong, so I'll paraphrase it, and I'm sure you remember what he said. Not just about, like, the ability, X's and O's wise, that Joseph brings to the field, but the energy or the emotion or whatever it was that he said that he brings to the field. You can see it. Like, you can see there's just a different – they're a different team when Joseph Martinez is out there. Obviously, he's the MVP of the league last year. But he just brings, like, a swagger and a confidence as well. So, obviously, it's very nice to have him back with the team at this point. How do you quantify that beyond just seeing it?
I don't know if you can. I mean, I honestly think about it like you think about Julio Jones for the Falcons. Hmm. If he's on the field, you know you've got a chance to get out of whatever bad situation you're in. Joseph can do that for you.